Last week we looked at number 19, we looked at number 20, and then also at lesson number 21, which comes out of the first two or three verses of chapter number 7. Lesson 21, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Living life wisely means that I learn to treasure the Word of God. Okay, and I'm not going to reteach that lesson again this morning, but we talked about this at the end of the lesson last week. There is a principle in God's Word for every area of my life. And I ended the lesson last week by telling you folks, a lot of you are young couples, newly married, been married for a short while, young children, you're in your 20s, you know, life changes, okay? Your children grow up, you get older, you don't stay 25, someday you'll be 45. You don't stay 30, someday you'll be 50. Your kids move out, they start having grandchildren, you bring in sons-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, and your body starts changing. So, you know, things aren't always going to be the same as they are right now, 23, 24, 25. When you hear things taught and preached, when you read things in the Bible, may not apply to you this moment, but that does not mean they're unimportant. Anything taught out of this book is valuable, okay? And you'll need it someday. So store it in the memory, put it in the file of your mind. The Bible talks about keeping it as a treasure. Keep my words, lay up. That's what you do with treasure. You keep it, you lay it up, something you value, okay? Treat the Word of God that way because it'll help you immensely every point in your life. There's a principle in God's Word for every area of my life. Now, lesson number 22 comes out of verses 6 and 7 and then through rest of most of this chapter. So verses 6 and 7 here, and I'm going to take a little time on this lesson. We may not finish it today. But living life wisely involves understanding the pitfalls of youth. It involves understanding the pitfalls of youth. Look at verse 6 with me, chapter 7, verse 6. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. Now, living life wisely involves understanding the pitfalls of youth. Solomon looked out of his window one day, and he observed a young man who walked into a trap and got himself in a huge mess. Okay? To put it plainly, this man gave in to the advances of a seductress, a seducing woman, who lured him into a situation that brought great grief to his life. And I can assure you, friend, the grief he experienced was 1,000, no, 10,000, maybe 10 million times greater than the fleeting moments of pleasure he enjoyed. Okay? 10 million times greater. The grief, the self-guilt, and everything this young man put himself in, absolutely outweigh immeasurably the fleeting moments of pleasure he might have had physically with this seductress. Okay? I'm going to come at this lesson today from the angle of being a parent. Okay? Because most of you have young children right now. They're toddling around and it's a blessing. Man, it's just a blessing. Our nursery has grown. And that's a good sign. Okay? That means we've got young couples here. All right? So I'm going to come at this from the angle of being a parent. Living life wisely involves, as a parent, understanding the pitfalls of youth. As a parent, I must understand the pitfalls of youth, and I must work to help my kids avoid situations that take advantages of their youth. This woman took advantage of this man's youth. Okay? Now, as a parent, you are God's gift to those kids. Okay? I am God's gift to those kids. And I need to live to help them avoid these type situations where they can be taken advantage of. Now, I'm not excusing this man's own personal responsibility. Okay? But I want you to notice that Solomon observed that this individual was a young man. Okay? The emphasis here. He was a youth, a young man. So I'm not absolving him completely of personal responsibility, but there are some pitfalls that go along with being young. Okay? As a parent, I've got to see those pitfalls. Help my kids get through them or avoid them. Okay? Here was a boy. Maybe he was developing into a man's body. Obviously he was. But he was a boy. And because he was a boy, he was given to certain pitfalls, and unfortunately, he fell into one of them. Now, I want you to notice two distinguishing characteristics about this boy. In verse number six here, he said, I went to the window of my house, verse number seven, beheld among the simple ones. Okay? He was simple. Now, this does not mean he was intellectually slow or unable to learn. We have the Sunbeam ministry here. We refer to those folks as slow. They're educably slow. The word simple here does not mean slow in that aspect. It doesn't mean it's simple-minded. Okay, we refer to them as being simple-minded. It's an interesting word. It means to open, to be roomy. To open, to be roomy. You see, a child has a lot of room in his mind and in his heart. In other words, he hasn't narrowed down his belief or his behavior. He has a lot of room to be influenced and taught. When it comes to influence, he's roomy. When it comes to influence, he's open. He's simple. Okay? Now, this is a good thing. And by the way, it's one reason why it is easier to win boys and girls to Jesus Christ than it is to win seasoned adults to Christ. Because the child has a lot of room. They're easily influenced. They're open-minded, okay? And you can sit down with a child and teach him the principles of salvation, the fact that you're a sinner, and that God said there's a price to pay for sin, and God said that price is eternal hell, and God said that you had to have Jesus as your Savior if you're going to die and go to that. And there's room there, okay? How about witnessing to an adult? You know, they've already got it narrowed down. You know, they got their logic and they got their reasoning and they got their religion and they got their own personal experiences and they got their own beliefs. Well, I just think and I just feel. There's not a lot of room there for influence. Are you with me, class? You understand what I'm talking about? There's not a lot of room there, okay? Adults have narrowed down their thinking concerning spiritual matters. Children have a lot of room to be influenced for Christ. That's why I'm glad we see these buses come in. I'm glad we see the kids come off. You say, what is the good of bringing these three-year-olds over here? I'll tell you, there's a world of good because they're open, they're roomy, okay? They're simple. They're not complicated. An adult's complicated. Witness to them. They're complicated. Horribly complicated, okay? But not children. Now, every asset has a liability. That's an asset when it comes to the gospel. It's a liability because children have a lot of room in which to be deceived. So they can be influenced and taught for truth, and that's good. But because they're roomy, they can be influenced for wrong. Okay? So that's a dangerous thing. Parents must understand this pitfall and be prepared to put certain safeguards in place to help their kids avoid it. Now, not only was he simple, he was, second of all, he was void of understanding. Look at there, verse number 7. I discerned among the youths a young man. Notice the emphasis on youth here. Youth, a young man, void of understanding. Now, the word understanding in this verse is a different Hebrew word than the one used for understanding in other passages. I'm not correcting the King James. We have words in our English language that have two meanings. Okay? The word understanding here, in other places in chapter 1, when we first started this, it means discernment. That's what the Hebrew word means. It means discernment. Here, it means heart. A young man void of heart. What do you mean? He didn't have a heart? He's not talking about a physical heart. He's talking about moral fortitude. Moral strength. He's talking about courage. You see, this man lacked courage. He lacked moral fortitude. He was young. This young man was caught with a dangerous combination. He was caught with a lot of room for influence and little moral courage to resist evil. That's a dangerous combination. Are you listening, class? A lot of room for influence and a little moral courage, little moral fortitude to resist evil. I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that have multiple kids, you're going to have kids like that. Some kids are bold. Some kids have the strength, the will, just to, others don't. Doesn't mean they're bad kids. It means they're different kids. I just wish I could drive this strong will right out of my child. You don't want to drive a strong will out of a child. You want to get it into control. Child needs a strong will. And nothing wrong with those kids, okay, other than their sin nature. Okay, that's what's wrong with them. Because they're different personality, you can't mark some kid bad and good because they're different personality. You cannot do that, all right? There are going to be some children that just aren't given to moral fortitude. They're not given to courage, okay? And when a child like that meets up with a situation where there's a lot of room for influence, you know, they've got a lot of room for influence, and they meet up with a temptation that's evil or the potential to be influenced for wrong, that's a dangerous combination. Okay? So the truth of it is, I would think more of our kids have this combination than don't have. It's that strength of peer pressure. It's incredible. It's incredible strong. Okay? So we must act accordingly. This is what we must see to be a pitfall and act accordingly. Any youth left without teaching parents is at a disadvantage. Any youth. So hopefully that's what I'm trying to avoid here. Okay? I'm trying to help your kids by helping you to learn that you're going to have to be involved in your kids' life as they get older to help them overcome the pitfalls, because a simple-minded child with a lot of room for influence, void of courage, is a dangerous combination, and it doesn't take that long to be in a situation where they're stuck with grief. Okay, parents, are you listening this morning? Okay, now here are the characteristics parents should teach their kids to avoid because of the pitfalls of youth. And all you got to do is read the passage. It's all in here. It's all written down here. Okay? Obviously, I take this man right here. I don't make him a pattern for what I do. I make him a pattern for what I don't do. Right? Okay? So I find out here what he did. Number one, avoid places of temptation. Look at verse number 8. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. He was in the place of temptation. The wise parent helps his children avoid places of temptation. Stay out of places where the temptation is probably going to be. Where is that? How about the mall? How about unsupervised activities? You know, Brother Scott took Ted for his birthday bowling, and Ted wanted to take some of the boys along bowling the other day. And, you know, they called the house and wanted Luke to be a part of it, but it was the boys that called, I think. I think in the beginning it was the boys that called. Hey, we're going to go down bowling for my birthday. I don't have a problem with that, but I'm going to tell you something, and I hope it never offended Scott or anybody. I called Scott and asked him, who's going to be there? Are you going to be there the whole time? Are you going with him? Are you staying with him? Who else is going to be there? If that offends people, I'm sorry. I don't think it offended you. Because that's what a parent's got to do. You are crazy to let your 16-year-old boy walk out of the house at the invitation of another teenage boy without finding out the facts. Places of temptation, bowling alleys and malls can be places of temptation if they're unsupervised, especially. Okay? Avoid places of temptation. You don't send a simple kid with no moral courage to a mall by himself or with a group of kids who are just like him. They all have no moral courage. And they all have room to be influenced. So that you avoid places of temptation. You know what it's called? It's called being a parent. Won't make you popular, but give them a few years, they'll hug you and say thank you. They will. Okay? Avoid places of temptation. Look at the next one. Number two, look at verse 9. Avoid times of temptation. Look at the time. In the twilight. In the evening. In the black and dark night. Hey, folks, that's a bad time to be out. Bad time to be out unsupervised. But we don't ever do anything. That's part of the problem. You know, the kids have we don't ever do anything. You know what, parents? Sometimes you've got to pull yourself off of being a couch potato and do something with your kids. Teenagers do have energy. Abundant energy. Okay? You can't expect that. I'm perfectly content. This is the season of the year. I got some downtime at home. I am content. I love to sit there and work jigsaw puzzles. I can work jigsaw puzzles for 3 or 4 hours. I love it. I get a glass of eggnog or just some water or something and just have some music playing in the background, and I could put jigsaw puzzles together. I love it. But I can't expect my 16-year-old boy to do that night after night. He just got more energy than what a jigsaw puzzle demands. A jigsaw puzzle demands this. He don't have much of that right now. Amen? No, I'm just teasing. He wants to do something. So, okay, you know, okay, go ahead and go. What time, you know, it's 7 o'clock at night. Yeah, go ahead, be home by 11. That's the wrong time. That's the wrong time. Okay, what you say, crime, evil, all that stuff increases at night. Avoid places of temptation. Avoid times of temptation. You've got to watch the time. Number 3, look at verse number 10. Here's what he said this. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Avoid those who dress immodestly. This is for your boys especially. If you got girls, don't let them dress immodestly. Don't let them dress like a harlot. There has to be a dress, an attire that says that's seductive. Has to be. Because he said with the attire of an harlot. So if I got a boy, and he's got a lot of room for influence, and probably has a little moral courage, I got to be careful. If I see the seductress around him, or if I see him gravitating toward the seductress, I got to step in. I got to do something. Yep. Whatever it takes. See? So, you know, it means keeping your eyes open. It means keeping your ears open. It means listening. It means watching. It means looking. Okay? Boy, you know, you'd like to think that church is a safe place to come and say it's safer than other places, but I want to tell you something. There's folks here that don't dress very nice. Yep. Dress immodest. Ladies, dress immodest. Way too immodest. It's wrong. Okay? Yeah. Clothes, they should not reveal anything physically about that woman to anybody other than her husband. Right. If they do, they're wrong. Now, I don't mean you got to dress in a potato sack. Okay? My wife doesn't dress in a potato sack, but ladies, you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. And you've got to step in for your girls. You've got to help your girls. You've got to watch age 11, 12, sometimes 10, 13. They start developing, and sweaters that were okay at 10 may not be good at 11.
Right.
You got to step in. You can't send that girl to school or to church dressed like a harlot. Okay? Be careful about that. Watch that. Avoid those who dress. Folks, look, you put girls who dress immodestly with boys that aren't supervised, and the sparks are going to fly. The flesh is the flesh. I could give you the name of a Bible college that's up to 28 cases of fornication in 1 year. A Bible college. You say, well, see, we have too much confidence in this stuff. We believe because it's Baptist flesh and Bible college flesh, we can violate the laws, the principles of truth, and it won't matter. The flesh is the flesh. I don't care if it's Baptist flesh. I don't care if it's Bible college flesh. You put kids together with seductive dress and boys with no moral fortitude, no moral strength, and sparks are going to fly. Y'all understand that? It's going to happen at work, too, if we're not careful. Okay? So avoid those who dress immodestly. Sometimes you have to pull your son aside and say, son, I don't want to see you around that girl. You say, well, I'm afraid of offending that girl. You know what? Sometimes you may just have to offend somebody to keep your boy's purity. Oh, well. And I don't think you need to make it public, but there's nothing wrong with sitting your son down and saying, I don't want you with that girl. I don't want you around her. Okay? If I see you around her, you're in trouble with me. I'm talking about stepping in. I'm talking about what a parent's supposed to do here. Okay? We don't take this boy and make him a pattern. You don't want this for your boys. You take this boy and you avoid all these things that he did. Okay? So you avoid places of temptation. Avoid times of temptation. Avoid those who dress immodestly. Look at verse number 10 through 12 here. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Avoid those who exhibit low moral character. What's low moral character? Well, it's defined for you right here. Deceptive. Verse number 10. Subtle of heart. Boy, if they're deceptive, you got to be careful. If you find out that some of your kids' friends are deceptive, you got to be careful. Okay? Loud. Verse number 11. She is loud. Okay? Women are supposed to put on the spirit, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now, I've preached this before. It doesn't mean that they can't have a bubbly personality. It's when they speak. Yeah, you can't take Loretta Walker and make her an introvert. Kevin and Loretta will be here on our old-fashioned day in 06. They'll bring their family and all their instruments. We'll have a good time. And you can't make Loretta Walker an introvert. That's how God made her. She's an extrovert. She's gregarious personality. She's very submissive to her husband. Very submissive. There's a difference here in personality and spirit. Okay? A loud spirit. She is loud and stubborn. Stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without. Now in the streets, lieth in wait at every corner. You know, your boy gets interested in a girl, better check out how her relationship is with her parents. Is she ever home? Does she like to be home? Does she like to be around her mom and dad? Is she close to her mom and dad? If she's not, if there's a problem there, bells and whistles start going off. Ding, 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 ding. Whoa, wait. Okay? Wait. You got to avoid these things. Number 5, verse number 13. She caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said unto him. Avoid this. Avoid those who cannot keep their hands to themselves. They can't keep their hands to themselves? Hey, son, you got to come away from her. You got to come away from him. Okay? Avoid that. The next one, number 6 in the list, verses 13 and 14. Avoid those who wear a cloak of spirituality. Look at this woman. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Avoid those who wear a cloak of spirituality. A cloak of spirituality. You learn a lot about people when you see them away from the church. Okay? Yeah, they don't figure they're spiritual because they just attend services at Faith Baptist Church or because they go to Faith Baptist Academy. Okay, there's a lot of times cloak of spirituality is a problem. Look at lesson number 7. Avoid those who use flattery. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Oh, but you ever get this? You ever get this going on from a girl to your son? You're the only one who really cares about me. You're the only one who understands me. My dad doesn't understand me. The pastor doesn't understand me. Brother Don doesn't understand me. My Sunday school teacher doesn't understand me. You're the only one that understands me. You know what that does to a boy? Here he comes on his white horse, the knight in shining armor, to defend this poor, sad, mistreated, misunderstood female, and he's the only one in the world that can understand her. That's a bunch of bunk. It's a bunch of flattery. If it's a girl who's not right with her dad and has ugly feelings to her dad, she's probably talking bad about her dad to her boyfriend. Anything like that comes out of her mouth? Son, we need to have a talk. Need to have a talk. Your kids aren't going to be small forever, folks. They're going to grow up. They're going to turn 19 and 20. They're going to get interested in people. You know, you're going to. And the first question I want to know is, tell me about their family. Tell me about their parents. Okay? What's their parents like? You say, well, what if they don't have Christian parents? Well, then we have to go find their pastor. Talk to me about their Christian character. Okay? But people who have a functional dad and mom, kids who have a functional dad and mom in the house, and there's a problem there in that relationship, and they bring that to a boy or a girl, start all this nonsense about nobody understands me but you, and nobody makes me feel like you do, and blah, blah, blah. It's all right. It's flattery, bells and whistles, warning flags need to go off in your mind. Something ain't right. Something's wrong somewhere. Something's not right. Put that down. Avoid that. Avoid those who use flattery. Number 8, verses 16 and 17. Avoid those who talk suggestively. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Huh? Huh? That's suggestive talk. That's suggestive talk. I know a situation where, dealt with a situation years ago where a young lady, a young man were interested in each other, and the young lady said to the young man, "Do you ever get lonely at night in bed?" That's suggestive. That's suggestive. Buddy, when that kind of stuff, you hear about stuff like that? Uh-uh. It's over. This thing's on hold. Stop right now. Nope. We're going to do some investigating here. What's going on? There's something not. Wholesome-hearted kids don't have to talk suggestively. Are you listening this morning? Y'all are awfully quiet. They're going to be older someday. And you know what? Maybe some of us in this room, in our courtship experiences, maybe we made some of these mistakes. Doesn't mean our kids have to repeat them. Doesn't mean that at all. Just because I did it, it's okay for my kid to do it. If it wasn't wise, folks, why would I want to pass that down to my son? Why would I want to pass that down to my daughter? I don't want them to make the same foolish mistakes I might have made. Let's do better than that. Amen. So avoid the pitfalls. Avoid those who talk suggestively. Look at verse number 18. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Avoid those who associate love with sin. Excuse me, boy, what she's inviting this boy to has nothing to do with love. Has nothing to do with love. Twice she used the word love. Let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Avoid those who associate love with sin. By the way, these type things right here are the type things you sit down with your kids when they're 9 and 10. Teach them before they're 17 and 18. Get it drilled into their heads before they get there. See? Teach them in advance. Avoid those who associate love with sin. The Bible says over in the book of 1 Corinthians 13 that real love rejoiceth not in iniquity. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. What they're talking about here, it has nothing to do with love whatsoever. It has everything to do with physical lust. And when you start renaming that, you're in trouble. You got a problem on your hands. Last one, verses 19 and 20. Avoid those who seek to go behind the back of authority. Look at it here. For the goodman is not at home. That means her husband. He has gone a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. She goes behind the back of authority. Now, this can work both ways. If you got girls, you got to watch it when boys show any of these tendencies. You got boys, you got to watch it when girls show any of these tendencies. Okay? That's 10 principles. Things to avoid if you want to keep from getting into this type of situation. Things your kids got to avoid. All right? Now, living life wisely means I understand the pitfalls that accompany youth as a parent. Look, listen to me, folks. I've said this before. We cannot keep them under our wing forever. Okay? But we can teach them about this type of reality and hopefully help them avoid wrecking their life. It's a dangerous combination. The combination of being easily influenced and little moral courage is dangerous to any child. That's where mom and dad got to step in and help that child avoid these things right here. I'll tell you what, it'll help you with your kids. Well, okay, that's it.